If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on FishingBooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. Many of you know Axis deer is considered to be the best tasting venison on the planet. I've been hearing that for years. And that those deer cause some ecological harm. Well, Maui Nui Venison is bringing those Axis deer to the market. So you can get some fresh cuts and sticks shipped to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's M-A-U-I-N-U-I Venison.com. Use promo code MEATEATER for 20% off your order.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Stephen Ranella, Brody Henderson, Giannis Poutelis, Randall Williams, Ryan Callahan, Hansi Deschermeyer,
trying to cut me
Seth
out of the action.
Morris, and Corey Calkins. What's the problem here?
I can't hear the question.
No, your headphones are on, Steve. It's just so we just went through a whole thing where I had to turn Spencer's down by a ton because they were up for you.
It hurt my, my head.
I can't hear out of an ear. Uh-huh. Okay. I don't know if you know this.
Give me a sec here. Make
I got
some
an
playful,
ear infection
playful banter.
3 weeks ago. I deferred a doornail.
Is it going to come back?
I got to wait. They can't put the tube in there yet. You got to wait.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like I got to prove that you can't hear. I'm like,
you kind of sound like you're a little stuffy.
I was going to say that.
I don't have my balance.
Whoa.
I can't do one-legged deadlifts and shit like that. I'm in rough shape.
You're going to have someone that's
go
dead?
On. I just want my things turned
okay.
on.
Okay. Hey, Steve, are these your headphones? Are they getting louder?
So when you go to prove that you,
hello.
You can't hear, you just show them all this footage.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, Steve's going to be shooting a crossbow this year.
Steve, how's this, Steve?
Well, disabled.
Oh. I can't hear.
You can't hear anything.
My cell's not on.
It's worse than we even thought.
So you have a...
You're going to have someone that's just dedicated to listen for moose calling.
I think
this might be Brody or Hansi, and I apologize. That's you.
That's me.
Mine's super fucking loud.
Yeah. Those new Phelps moose calls up to your ear.
This is a great start.
Here, I'll just... Everybody,
here's the thing.
I'm not
we don't
have
any audio
on.
Questions.
Okay.
Do you want to start over, Spencer?
No. Let's keep this in.
Because the cameras haven't been switching because I've been doing stuff.
Are we? Can we carry on now? This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. But this isn't just any regular old game of Meat Eater Trivia. This is episode 3 of the 2023 Meat Eater Trivia Tournament. There are 4 episodes total, and by the end of the last one, we'll have crowned a champion of Meat Eater Trivia for 2023. Now, this game will have spoilers, so if you haven't heard episodes 1 and 2 yet, then pause this and go back and listen to those first. All right, now that everyone's caught up, we're ready to declare our second ever Meat Eater Trivia Champion. Will it be Steve, the man who will try to argue his way to a victory instead of just getting the answers right? Or could it be Giannis, who left an elk hunt early for a chance to win? Or could it be Randall, a player who told me that he literally loses sleep over trivia? Or will it be Corey, the man who sneakily came in second place in last year's tournament, Or could it be Seth, whose wife told him not to come home if he does bad? Or could it be Hanzi, a player with only four games under his belt? Or will it be Cal, a man who conveniently says he doesn't care about trivia when he loses at trivia? Or will it be Brody, the defending champion from 2022? That is what we're here to decide. No, I'd like to hear our competitors. What do you got?
Right now? We're deciding this?
Today.
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 It's happening now.
In 2 hours from now, we will know who the Meat Eater trivia champion is.
I had no idea. I was coming in for this.
I didn't know there was already two episodes of
this.
Yeah,
you got, because you win enough, you get win enough, or you just got put in.
Mm-hmm. I knew that.
It's got a sports
I didn't know we were going to final champion.
The invite to this guest or to this game today, Yanni, said Meat Eater trivia championship. Should have given
you a
clue.
I thought it was multiple games.
It is multiple games.
Some of us, Yanni's been fighting it out in the trenches to get here.
Now, I'd like to hear from our competitors. Who do you think will win? Let's go around the room and get an answer from everyone. No cop-outs. Don't say, like, conservation's going
to
win.
Do they do this at the beginning of NFL games, too?
Every year. Every year they actually do.
I'm going to, in keeping with the NFL theme, I'm going to get a question right early, and then I'm going to keep getting the questions right.
Okay.
That's my strategy.
Explain to me how that relates to the NFL.
Because they always go like, oh, we're going to score early and get ahead and stay
ahead.
That's
a good strategy. Okay. So Steve is picking himself. Hanzi, who you got?
Oh, boy. Conservation? Was that an answer?
No. Can't do that. You can pick yourself. You can pick someone else.
Oh boy, you know I'm gonna take the cheap.
Hanzi, tell us who's gonna win.
I'm gonna take the cheap seats here and go Randall.
Randall, okay, Randall, yeah. Who's gonna win?
I mean, I don't know. I'll just say me.
Okay. Good. Yanni. Now, Yanni, last year, I think when I asked you this question, you went on a tangent about Old Yeller, I believe, to explain your answer, which I'm not even sure if you ever got to.
That mangy yellow dog?
Yeah. So who do you think is going to win?
Really? And you don't remember how I correlated the two?
No.
I wish you could.
You can try again.
No, I don't have it in me now.
Okay. I have an emotional toll. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I actually just started reading Where the Red Fern Grows.
Okay.
Again, in preparation for hound hunting season.
Crying already.
No, that's at the end.
Big Dan, Little Ann.
Yanni, who's going to win?
If I had to put my money on it, I'm going to give it to the doctor, too.
Wow. Three votes for Randall so far. Seth, who is going to win Meat Eater Trivia?
Since Corey got second last year, I think he has it in him to get
good
first.
For you, Corey.
What? He got second of the whole championship?
The whole thing last year, he took second place. Cal, who's going to win?
Giannis.
Oh, whoa.
Thanks,
that would
Cal.
Mean he beat B.
Yeah.
He did, in fact, beat you. Brody, who's going to win? Who you got?
I think he rolled right at the top of his board.
Mm-hmm. I'll remind you,
I have to give an answer?
Yeah, nobody has picked Brody yet, our defending champion.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, that's what happens when you got 10 more wins than everyone else.
Uh-huh, yeah.
yeah, I'm going to win.
Okay, Corey?
Hey, I don't think mine ever got updated after my last win, Parker.
I have to do a big update
at some
point.
No, mine definitely is small. There's no way I'm at that number.
I don't even have one, so...
Corey?
This is not because he picked me, but Seth's on a roll, so I got to win. Yeah.
Okay, well, the room money is on Randall then. Randall, a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah. Oh, I love the pressure on Randall right now.
Yeah, I think Hanzi set in motion the first of many steps that will lead up to eventual disappointment.
I'm changing my answer to Randall. I think Randall's going to win.
Okay, yeah, I think that's five votes for Randall. Randall, we could just quit right now.
I'm all for that, actually. Mm-hmm.
Now, before we move on, I should first explain how this is going to work. Our championship will be decided by 20 questions instead of 10. You'll hear the first 10 questions this week and the second 10 questions next week, but there's a twist. Only 6 of you will advance to the final episode. That means our 2 lowest performing players from today will be eliminated from the tournament, so the stakes are high.
Sounds like I would do a more aggressive cut if you asked me.
Okay, what if you're like 6th place? I'll remind you,
but
Steve.
But I'd be like, yeah, let's keep it the way we had
I remind you, Steve, what happened last year. We had some qualifying episodes to which I granted you a bye, and you said, BS, I will not take the bye. I'm going to earn my way. And then I think you barely snuck in by the skin of your teeth. And about halfway through the episode, you're like, you know, I think I will take that bye to the next round.
Oh, okay.
And that was actually after I explained to you what a bye meant, which was, I love that you didn't know. It's so organic that you didn't know what a bye was in sports. It's very on brand. I appreciate it.
And I don't even
that.
Remember what you told me.
I feel like Spencer gets really mean in these championship rounds.
Oh, do I?
Because he's like Mr. Big Guy.
Have you guys seen that t-shirt? I think it was given to Steve, but Rosemary wears it, and it's the dude dunking, and it says touchdown. Yes. I laughed at least 10 times that day every time I look over and see that t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, back to your point, yeah. Brody, of me being mean. I think this game usually fluctuates somewhere between entertaining and informative.
And downright mean.
Yeah, today the needle is just like broken off the scale, and it's down to like competitive now.
Oh, I can take it. Don't worry about it. You can be as mean as you want.
So two of you are not going to be in next week's episode. Now, for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at player performance from last year's trivia championship. Brody won the game with 6 correct answers, followed by Corey and Giannis with 5. All 3 players were tied going into question 10, but Brody pulled away after answering correctly that the cardinal is the most common state bird in America. Brody, if I hadn't reminded you, would have you remembered that your winning question was about the most common songbird that is a
state
bird.
Not I remember, but I remember being real happy that I was the only one that had that answer.
Good on you, Brody. And here's our 0%er question of the week, which tests how much knowledge players have retained from previous shows. This question was from last year's trivia championship. The topic was fishing, and nobody got it right. Name the state with either the heaviest or lightest largemouth bass state record. Who knows it? I'll remind you, nobody got this right last year in the championship episode. If you have an answer, just shout it out.
California.
Georgia.
No, Brody got it right. Georgia was the heaviest. Do you know the lightest?
Nevada.
Anybody? No.
New Hampshire.
No.
Michigan.
No. Alaska was right. Yeah. The correct answers were Georgia and Alaska. The incorrect answers given were Texas, California, and Florida. Everybody went with heavy, and everybody got it wrong. Now, there's no housekeeping today, so we can get on with the tournament. The Shelby Index for
all
20
questions. Are there
largemouth bass in
Alaska?
There is like one or two ponds that have them. The state record for Alaska was like 7 ounces. And I think there's a chance that they may have eradicated all of them by now.
Cool.
So it was very recent. I don't think they would think it's cool, but it is cool.
Oh.
But they I have a eradicated? Hard time seeing largemouth getting a foothold in Alaska.
Yeah.
Now, there's no housekeeping today. The Shelby Index for all 20 questions is a 7, so our winner should get 14 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil. 20.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
I mean, size is relative, right? 7
you
ounces.
Stand to win everything. I mean,
it's going to be hard to figure out.
Final round. Oh, Phil, nice touch there.
What's the matter, Yanni? You had your arms up.
So we're doing 20 questions this game and then another 20 questions for the final.
10 questions this week, 10 questions next week.
Got it.
Our listeners can have a peek behind the curtain. This is recorded the same day, Yanni. Yeah, yeah, so when we finish this episode, we're going to do the next episode right away.
Minus
satisfied?
Minus two people.
That's right, Corey. Question 1. The topic is woodsmanship, and as always, this will be multiple choice. Which of these trees is not native to North America? Is it a red maple, a black locust, a blue spruce, or white poplar? 3 of these are native to North America. One of them is not. Is it a red maple, a black locust, a blue spruce, or white poplar? I'll remind our players on this side of the table, you can look at Phil. The questions are on the TV next to him. If you need a reminder of what you're answering.
Pick a color.
Which of these trees is not native to North America? Red maple, black locust, blue spruce, white poplar. Seth with the quickest answer. him and Yanni are sharing what they think like, might be it.
We have not. You okay. don't know that.
Okay.
We've been over here just, you can't even read our lips.
Fill me in
but
there.
But I feel like I asked him if he knows it.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like he should.
He should.
Because he has a degree.
Oh, you guys were chit-chatting?
In forestry.
No, we're
there's
just,
one of these with their eyes. One of these species I'd never heard mentioned when I was in forestry school.
Okay. Mm. Red maple, black locust, blue spruce, white poplar. Does everybody have an answer?
How's that arborist That's history weird. Treating you?
What's weird, Cal?
I can't hear.
Oh, I find it weird that Seth says, you know, there's a list of trees there that he never heard mentioned, and like one of those things he never heard mentioned in school.
Yeah, one of them.
Huh. Is everybody ready? Brody, you ready?
I hate missing the first question. Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying red maple, Seth saying white poplar, Giannis saying blue spruce, Randall saying black locust, Hansi saying red maple, Steve saying blue spruce, Corey saying black locust, Brody saying white poplar.
It was between red and white for me.
What Every choice was picked. The correct answer is the white poplar.
Yeah.
I think we had Seth and Brody
damn tree.
Get it right. White poplars are native to Eurasia, but were introduced to North America in 1748. They have been reported in 48 states and are most prevalent east of the Missouri River. White poplars have been named one of the worst invaders of the Great Lakes region, where they overtake native trees, shrubs, and grasses.
Isn't it Colorado blue spruce?
Yeah.
Well, I know, but that's what I was thinking. But that, I thought I remember someone saying that it was like a misnomer.
They are native to the Rocky Mountains.
You're not allowed to cut them down for Christmas trees where we used to live.
Oh, really?
They're like protected, yeah.
Question two, the topic is hunting. This archery term refers to the percentage of draw weight that a shooter holds on a fully drawn compound bow. A confident room, this archery term refers to the percentage of draw weight that a shooter holds on a fully drawn compound bow. A very confident room. Now we have Corey second guessing. Hansi without an answer. Randall, do you have this one right?
I think so.
Quickly.
Randall's not a big archery guy.
No. No, so I'm a little concerned that it seems to be causing confusion for people who are big archery guys.
This archery term refers to the percentage of draw weight that a shooter holds on a fully drawn compound bow. Is everybody ready? Right?
No, I didn't.
Is everybody ready? Hansi?
Sure.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying let off. Seth saying let off. Hansi saying let off. Randall saying let off. Hansi saying break. Steve saying let off. Corey saying let off. Brody saying let off. They got it. The correct answer is let off.
It's a weirdly worded question.
Yeah.
Compound bows use cables and cams that store energy, which reduces the bow's held weight at full draw. For example, if you are shooting a 70-pound bow with 80% let off, then you would actually have just 14 pounds of felt weight at full draw. Most hunters have a let off around 80%, while target archers are closer to 70%. That's a definition you'll find, Brody, anywhere where you look up archery lingo.
No, it's I know what it is. It's just right. say the it's like worded weirdly, I feel.
I mean, if it were up to me, I'd throw out the first two. Just throw them out.
Question
really,
three.
Really quick, Hansi, were you the only one who didn't get that
I was the only
okay,
one.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. Yeah. I hate it when I have to do that, but I apologize.
Won't be long. I'll be able to move a little to the right.
Was it your right ear that you can't hear from or your left ear?
Question three. The topic is public lands. What national park is home to the rock formation known as El Capitan? What national park is home to the rock formation known as El Capitan? We have a very confident room yet again. Except for Seth.
I can't tell if this is a trick question.
I know, because.
Seth, is this a trick question?
It's hard to articulate.
Let's just have the question.
Well,
just have the question be out there.
We just want to hear you make that noise.
As what? Someone who knows the answer, I believe it is El Capitan. Spencer.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that was
El
the problem.
Capitan. So it's not, yeah. I it's not get, a trick question.
I don't know what tricked. Is happening. I don't know what is happening in trivia right now. This is unprecedented.
Yeah. You mean that well, he can't know, he don't need to pronounce his own questions?
Me against well, pronunciation is a life question.
That's not even written right.
It's just the wrong word. Okay. Are we all on the
really
same page?
Lose faith
I am shocked.
Host.
I'm shocked.
There's a lot of shouting in this episode.
In
people
Espanol, there is no captain.
Capitan.
I'm also shocked at like the general agreement in the room right now.
About how that's bad.
Well, just how it's like, well, you got to play the ball where it lies. Like, sorry if you don't know it.
I spelled it wrong and I read it wrong. It is El Capitan.
Oh, can we like have a little sound bite? Just Spencer saying he was wrong about one of his questions.
Yeah, like, I'll add that into the intro.
It happens often. What national park is home to the rock formation known as El Capitan? Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying Yosemite. Seth saying Theodore Roosevelt. Giannis saying Yosemite. Everyone else saying Yosemite. They got it right. The correct answer is Yosemite. There goes Seth's lead. After getting the first
long game, Seth. Long game.
El Capitan is a granite monolith that's 3,000 feet from base to summit. The Free Solo documentary, which came out in 2018, follows Alex Honnold in his pursuit of being the first person to free solo climb the wall. Honnold accomplishes that and is still the only person to ever climb the rock without the aid of ropes or protective gear. El Capitan has claimed 30 climbing fatalities in the last 100 years.
A lot of did us you hear just about call the it bear? El Cap. You know?
Wasn't there, they just saw a bear climbing that thing recently?
Hmm. Whoa.
All pretty way sure. To the top?
I'm pretty sure. God, I hope I'm right, but I'm pretty sure.
I hope you're right too. That would be impressive.
Really? I think he's just following the trail of sweat and chalk and
this
piss.
Is like within the last week or two.
Question four, the topic is cooking. What cut of meat does the filet mignon come from? What cut of meat does the filet mignon come from? Room was very confident on question three, not as confident on question four. Giannis, do you know this? We have a Hansi and a
yes,
Giannis.
I do.
Giannis.
Poke Giannis.
Hansi, do you know this?
I think.
Steve, do you know this?
I don't know. I mean, I got an answer written down.
What cut of meat does the filet mignon come from?
Randall, you look confused.
I'm not confused. Okay. I just don't have an answer. I see the situation quite clearly, actually. I'm unhappy with it, but no confusion here, Brody.
You are the chosen one.
It's not hot dog.
Well, there could be hot dog, or it could be in a hot dog.
This is question four of 20.
Can we argue the poplar question? Was it not native to North America or not native to the United States?
Not native to North America. It is native to Eurasia.
Which is not in the United States.
I was saying the United States weren't formed in 1774, right? Is that what you said?
I would say this, and it doesn't look so good after the last question, but I had all these questions fact-checked by our very own Jordan Sillars, who is also a doctor and whose work I very much trust. So I have confidence in these questions going forward besides, you know, what happened with the rock formation. What cut of meat does a filet mignon come from? Does everybody have an answer?
I have an answer.
Randall?
Sure.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying tenderloin. Seth saying loin. Giannis saying tenderloin. Randall saying round. Hansi saying tenderloin. Steve saying tenderloin. Corey saying tenderloin. Brody saying tenderloin. The correct answer is tenderloin. The room did pretty well.
You know, that's a place in San Francisco, too, don't you?
A filet mignon is the small end of the tenderloin. Although it wouldn't be practical to separate the tenderloin on a deer, it would be worthy of doing so on a bison, moose, or elk. If you were to purchase an elk filet mignon online, it would cost about $50 for a 6-ounce serving. Question five.
I'd take that job someday, his job, Spencer's.
You want to play host?
You should try it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I gotta work, give me a while. I'm gonna work up a little list. And I know you. And I know I want to get what six? Six right?
Six to nine.
Score.
It's a healthy score, I think.
Yeah, I'd like to try.
You think
that.
you would do it?
Give me a minute.
Did you listen to Giannis's episode?
No, but the problem is. No, I've never listened to any of the ones I'm not on.
Oh, really?
Well, I listened to one, and I won. I won. I quit listening because it's too painful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I sat there and won.
But it's not fun to listen to the ones where you're not there and play along.
It is.
And you'd be like, if I was there,
but
I
won, and it doesn't do me any good.
He called me immediately after. I think I could hear the music exiting the podcast to tell me that he had just won. And that was it. That was the phone
call. To
which
I got no credit.
Spencer, you paint a colorful picture there.
Question five. The topic is fishing. What legendary fishing family created the Lindy Tackle Company and In Fisherman Magazine? What legendary fishing family created the Lindy Tackle Company and In Fisherman Magazine? A confident Seth, a confident Giannis, a confident Brody. Brody, do you have this one right?
Yes.
What?
What legendary fishing family created the Lindy Tackle Company and In Fisherman Magazine? Do those things sound familiar to you, Steve? Do you know what the Lindy Tackle Company is?
No, I know all that shit. Okay. Yeah.
Just coming as a real surprise that the name.
I just don't know anything about. Sure. Like I didn't even know that they were the related. I didn't know that. You know what I mean?
Seth, you have this one right, I assume. Giannis is also confident. Randall does not look confident.
Steve, you got to cover your board up, man.
I haven't written anything.
You look like you were getting ready.
He could probably get away with not covering his board with how small he wrote his last answer.
What
was going on there,
shit, man?
What legendary fishing family created the Lindy Tackle Company and In Fisherman Magazine?
This country has a legendary fishing family.
Giannis, Seth, Brody, do you
think
this is a
legendary dynasty? Yeah.
We're handing out hints
dynasty.
Here.
Dynasty. You never heard of the Patelises? That's another one.
This is two.
Does everybody have an answer? Who's going to come up with an answer?
A legendary fishing family.
Ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying Linderman. Seth saying Lindners. Giannis saying Lindners. Randall saying Winkleman.
Nice.
Hansi saying Berkeley.
Yeah, I don't know.
Steve saying Houston.
The Houston family.
Nice.
Cordy saying the Lindys. Brody saying Lindners. They got it. The correct answer is the Lindners.
Well, if I had written the Lindys because the Lindy rig,
we're
that would have been right.
We're not going to give that to you, and we're not going to give it to Cal. Wow. I think he got two.
I said Linderman.
Linderman, we're not going to give that to you.
It was
you.
A guess.
Al and Ron couldn't Lindner have created the Lindy Tackle Company, which is famous for their Lindy rigs, in 1968. They sold the brand about a decade later so that they could focus on In Fisherman, a magazine they launched in 1975. Al, Ron, Bill, and James Lindner are all in the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame.
Man, 50 years that magazine.
God, I didn't know there's a Freshwater Hall of Fame.
You did know that, Steve. And last time you said, I think I'd like to be in there.
Well, I would.
Okay. So you did know it existed.
I was trying so hard to figure out how they got Lindy out of Winkleman. That's
what I don't know why I would have just written. I know there's a Lindy rig. Why did I not write Lindy? Because that's not a famous
Lindy
fishing
one, right?
It's a.
I wouldn't have gotten it right?
No.
I thought he tried it.
He did.
And it didn't work.
Oh, okay, so I wasn't even close then. That's the closest. Okay, good.
Phil, we are a quarter of the way through our game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Yeah, I think everyone picking Randall as the probable winner was completely psyched him out. I don't know, that was a good group effort.
Randall could get eliminated here.
Randall has 2 points as well as Hansi. Got Steve, Seth, Corey, and Cal all tied up with 3 points apiece. Giannis has 4, and in first place with a perfect game is Brody Henderson.
What?
Son of a
perfect game.
You've got to be kidding, really?
What? The game ain't over yet. Come on, let's play.
Question six.
That's what Brody says when he's beating his kid's ass at checkers. He's like, come on, finish it up. Oh. Next year, can we have graphics when you do the score updates?
Yeah, it's. I'll have to think of a new program to use when I do this, but I'll try to figure something out. Sure,
it would just be more impactful.
Yeah, I know, but it kind of eliminates my job, and I'm, you know, I'm here to stay.
My wife and I like to play Scrabble a lot, and I beat her the other night, and I was such what she called a sore winner. She launched the Scrabble board.
Wow.
It took me 2 days to find the pieces.
I have no problem envisioning that happening. Doesn't surprise me one bit.
What was the distribution of the pieces like? How far from...
I was waiting for the unexpected turn of
one of those uni rooms, you know? Uh-huh. So it's like cooking, eating, sitting, just everywhere.
What did you say after your win?
I don't even remember. But yeah, it's just like, just the worst winner. You ever heard of a bad winner?
You can go further with Can-Am. I'm telling you, man, I don't care if you're hunting on a farm, hunting on a ranch, hunting out on public, cruising up and down the beach down in Baja, out in the desert in Sonora where we hunt coos deer. Riding a Can-Am is just funner than riding a vehicle. Everything about it's better. And you can check these two models out, the Defender. This is the undefeatable workhorse from Can-Am. Because like you, it never quits in the face of the toughest work. And it's got HVAC, which keeps you protected from the elements, and you enjoy the perfect temperature when it's freezing cold or real hot. Heavy-duty Rotax engine with a class-leading 69 pound-feet of torque. And check this out. Up to 2,500 pounds towing capacity. The Outlander 500 or 700. This is an all-capable workhorse. Nothing you can't overcome. HD5, HD7 engines that power through any job. Engineered with the strength, features, and build to never let you down. So you're getting reliability and a quality build ready for any job with 125 accessory options. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online, visit canamoffroad.com/hunting. Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear, what I like to do, on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, which gives you great smoke at 180 degrees, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. This is my way of bold saying. If I was going to cook roast one way, that's how I like to do it, sear roast. Utilize the smoke boost setting to intensify that smoky flavor. Direct flame cooking creates searing, crisping, and browning. Food is going to look as good as it tastes. This grill gets hot in 15 minutes. Cleanup is easy. Cook confidently with intuitive digital controls at the grill and enjoy the sleek, easy-to-use surface. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill. Hey, everybody. I'm talking here about Montana Knife Company from our very own state of Montana. This company was founded by one of the most experienced master bladesmiths in the world, Josh Smith, who over recent months I've become friends with. And my God, have I learned a lot about knives from this guy. Just a phenomenal hometown company that makes world-renowned knives. Josh has been making knives for 30 years. You get one of these knives up and open it, it is sharp like something that came from outer space. And here's the deal. They make knives that can be sharpened. You can work on these knives. If you don't want to work on them, you send it to them and they'll work on it. They'll get it sharp. Phenomenal hunting knives. If you want to see them in action, we just did, me and John Hayes, the taxidermist, just did a video about how to properly skin a black bear. Watch that video, and in that video, you'll see Montana Knife Company knives in action. MKC products usually sell out in minutes of being released, which is true. But now, for the first time, they're dabbling with having knives in stock on their site. So right now, you can grab yourself a Blackfoot 2.0 or the Ultralight Speed Goat. Use code MEATEATER, and you get 10% off your first order. Montana Knife Company. Working knives for working people. 10% off with the code MEATEATER. That's a good deal.
Question six. The topic is gear. This gun maker, who's famous for their military and police revolvers, announced in 2021 that they'd be moving their headquarters from Massachusetts to Tennessee. This gun maker, who's famous for their military and police revolvers, announced in 2021 that they'd be moving their headquarters from Massachusetts to Tennessee. A fairly confident room. Steve, you have this one right?
Yeah, I do. I think. Maybe. I
Brody know. Still doing some writing. Cal, I think you're the only one who hasn't come up with an answer yet. This gun maker, who's famous for their military and police revolvers, announced in 2021 that they'd be moving their headquarters from Massachusetts to Tennessee.
Mm.
Cal, I think we are waiting on you.
No, I mean, I wrote an answer down.
Oh, okay.
I just don't have any confidence.
Then Brody, we're waiting on you.
Keep waiting.
He's diagramming.
I'd love to see Brody falter, man. He's drawing a little picture of the country with the arrow showing where they went and where they ended up.
No.
I mean, yeah, it's like there's a lot of manufacturers that
he's
were
got
famous
the dates. He's
time.
Got the square footage of the facilities.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying Colt, Seth saying Smith & Wesson, Giannis saying Springfield.
Springfield's Randall, a weird one, too, because they have a factory in Argentina.
Randall saying Smith & Wesson, Hansi saying Colt, Steve saying Smith & Wesson, Corey saying Smith & Wesson, Brody saying Smith & Wesson. The correct answer is Smith & Wesson. The room did fairly
well. So tell me, like, I want to know...
Mm-hmm.
Based off of what criteria is Smith & Wesson famous for military revolvers?
They produced the M10, which they distributed 6 million of. It became like the official contracted revolver of the military and law enforcement.
I'm all for tearing Spencer down and all that, but you're barking up a
Didn't you ever see the Dirty Harry movies, man?
The other criteria.
Just the fact that you're challenging him makes me generally supportive. But he's right.
The other criteria
in the history of firearms, right? Mm-hmm. Like Colt, by far and away, is like the historic firearm of
revolvers.
But they didn't move.
In 2021, did they announce that they were moving from Massachusetts to Tennessee?
But let's get down to the why, right? Which is, I genuinely wanted to know. Right, it's a trivia knowledge thing.
And I explained it. 6 million of them.
Yes.
So I'm interested in trivia. Shoot me.
Which I didn't ask beyond that. I didn't challenge beyond that.
Smith & Wesson had been headquartered in Massachusetts since 1852. They said the move was because of state legislation that would have prohibited the company from manufacturing certain firearms. Their migration to Tennessee started earlier this year. Question seven.
That was a good tidbit, Spencer.
The topic is biology. This is the female reproductive part of a flower, which is made up of a stigma, style, and ovary. The topic is biology. This is the female reproductive part of a flower, which is made up of a stigma, style, and ovary. Brody, I think, is the most confident right now. He's the only one who's been writing.
So confident.
Dude, I need to channel my inner Jennifer Jones. I'm going to get in trouble.
Explain who that is.
My wife, who's a botanist.
She'd be good to have here right now.
Right now, if I had her in my pocket.
This is the female reproductive part of a flower, which is made up of a stigma, style, and ovary. This is question seven. As a reminder, two of you will not go on to the next round.
Does it roll over at 10 or does it keep
going? It will roll over.
So it's a fresh start.
No.
Oh.
We'll start. If the winner of this game has 9, they will have 9 to start the next game.
So why would you eliminate
Can we do it where it starts over?
No.
We will that we're well, 20 that's a good questions.
Idea, really. 20 about it.
Because 20 questions. Brody, it's common in sports like golf where you have a cutoff and your score keeps going. It doesn't just
no,
stop.
No, golf's
there
not a sport.
Start. Okay. Here's the question again. This is the female reproductive hobby. Part of a flower, which is made up Excuse. Of a stigma, style, and ovary. Does everybody have an answer?
No.
Yes.
You have to give
I
us
know
five
it's
minutes.
One of two.
I know it's one of two. That's a real
doesn't it feel
biology class back in the day.
Doesn't it feel more
just
representative?
Like I knew it was S&W or Colt?
Doesn't it feel more representative, Steve, if our winner of the whole trivia tournament won based on 20 questions rather than just 10?
I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at what would be most helpful to me right now.
Getting this question right, that would be helpful. Does everybody have an answer?
Oops, no. Sorry, Phil.
Bump to camera. Does it look okay, Phil?
Oh. Yeah, I think so. Looks fine.
Giannis, are you ready?
No.
We're waiting on you.
Looks like there's something
you have
wrong
an answer right about.
I do. Don't feel good about it.
We're not going to be able to monetize this episode. We have Brody dropping an F-bomb. We had Cal showing a naughty
so
finger.
So you're telling me after all this time it's just about the money? Spencer. Spencer Newhart.
The money that goes to conservation organizations.
You can't bleep that out?
Come on.
Giannis, we're waiting on you.
All right.
Go ahead. Oh, Corey.
Oh.
We're gonna this is your last chance.
I know.
Everybody ready?
Come on.
Go ahead and reveal your answers.
One sec. That was too late.
We have Cal saying stamen. Seth saying stolen. Giannis, what's that say, Giannis?
Pedal.
Saying pedal. Randall saying stamen. Hansi saying stamen.
What did Steve say?
Steve saying pistol. Corey saying pollen. Stamen. Brody saying stamen. We have a correct answer in the room. It's stamen.
Oh.
Steve.
Oh,
excuse me, it's pistol.
No,
it's pistol.
It's pistol.
It's pistol.
Yes!
Steve got it right. The correct answer is pistol.
Spelled wrong.
Steve, he did spell it wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
I pulled that out of my... Listen. Let me do a little thing related to this.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big Scrabble fan.
Okay.
There's a thing that happens in Scrabble where you write something down.
And you got to spell it right?
I don't know what that is, but that's a word.
Sure.
And that is a cheap way to get a point.
Yeah. And then as Brody
pointed
out.
And that's just what just happened to me.
You spelled it wrong.
I didn't know the answer.
We'll give it to you.
Pistol. I spelled it right.
No, you didn't.
We should do a special episode eyes. Based off of this where we bring my grandma in and she plays Steve.
In Scrabble?
Uh-huh.
And what would happen?
Because she just does this stuff where she plays the old lady part up and then like gives you a dead stare and she's like, oh, you can challenge if you want. And it takes a strong person to be like.
Yeah, Katie tried to make it for a while that you had to use it in a sentence. I'm like, I'm not agreeing to that. I'm not agreeing to that.
The male parts are called stamens and usually surround the pistil. The stamen is made up of the anther and filament. During the process of fertilization, pollen lands on the stigma, and then the oval becomes the seed, and ovary becomes the fruit.
It's the little kid in me that wanted pistol to be masculine.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I thought I didn't
it'd
have it right.
It'd be convenient if it
I
was.
I thought I didn't have it right because it felt manly.
Question 8. The topic is cooking. The name of this trendy Hawaiian food translates to cut into chunks and is sometimes served as a burrito. Very confident room. Quick to answer. Here's the question again. The name of this trendy Hawaiian food translates to cut into chunks and is sometimes served as a burrito. Seth now coming up with an answer. Giannis without an answer. The rest of the room is pretty sure. This is question 8. We will get a scoreboard update.
Don't be looking at me. I'm bombing
Phil
this episode.
After this.
I've never been more desperate for a score update in my life. So I can stay in the top 6.
The top 6. That's how you need to advance. And the score will carry over. The name of this trendy Hawaiian food translates to cut into chunks and is sometimes served as a burrito. Giannis is stumped. He's not picked up his board.
I guess I haven't read my Bon Appetit enough lately.
I'm going to be really mad if I don't have it right.
We have a confident Brody, a confident Steve. Confident Hansi and Randall. Corey has still not come up with an answer. Question 8.
Man, that TikTok's starting to get annoying. You should be glad you don't have your headphones.
Well, you can take yours off, Brody.
No,
it's not mandated.
I want to try someone else's to see if mine were just broken.
No, I'm wearing yours.
That must
they're
be
working.
Yeah, they work just fine.
Actually, they're a little loud.
It's the hardware.
Here, say something.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, I can hear it through there.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm good.
Corey, do you have an answer?
Into chunks.
I feel like I'm good if
Giannis
has a
good one.
Giannis?
I feel like he's good, like this guy.
Yeah, let's go. Giannis, are you going to come up with an answer?
Man. Some bitch is sitting over there just chunks. Milking it, a lot of these, man.
He's like, writing. He's
going to come to him from outer space.
Yeah, Spencer, we might have to have a words, stat then on who drags it out the longest.
I'll tell you another stat. Who chit-chats too much about the answer?
Go ahead and reveal your answers. If Cal saying poke, Seth saying poke, Giannis saying shish kebabs, Randall and Hanzi and Steve saying
I
poke,
shish kebab burrito,
Brody saying poke.
I had to write down something.
The correct answer is poke. Traditionally, poke was raw seafood that
one
was
of them
chunked.
Shish kebab burritos.
That sounds pretty good, though. Traditionally, poke was raw seafood that was chunked and then marinated in soy sauce and sesame oil, but more modern versions have introduced other types of protein and served it with avocado, rice, edamame, carrots, cucumber, and delivered it in a bowl or burrito. If you want to learn how to make it, then go to themeateater.com and check out Kimmy Werner's video called How to Make a Poke Bowl. Phil, we have two questions left in this episode. Give us a scoreboard update. I think the bottom is tight.
It's very tight. It's going to be scrapping it out.
The bottom.
The bottom is the
bottom leaderboard.
It's tight. Mm-hmm. We've got Hanzi with 3 points. Randall, Giannis, Corey, and Cal all have 4 points.
Ooh. Ouch.
Seth has 5, Steve has 6, and Brody is still in first place with 7 points.
Wow. Good gravy.
I think I'm not coming back from this one, guys.
Question 9. Topic is conservation.
You got to start getting 2 right answers per question.
Where's the multiplier? Is there a Mega Millions multiplier in here?
This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Dan Miller for sending this great question. Dan is going to get a book signed by Steve. Encyclopedia Britannica defines this two-word term as, quote, an organism that serves as a measure of the environmental conditions in a given locale. The topic is conservation. Encyclopedia Britannica defines this two-word term as an organism that serves as a measure of the environmental conditions in a given locale. Hanzi, do you have this one right?
There's a chance. There's a chance. But I got 2 right, actually.
Oh, there you go.
I feel like this is going to be, there's an easy way to say this, and then there's another way to say this.
I feel like there's a way to say
the exact
you chit-chatted about the answer too much.
Sounds like Steve's confident in his answer.
Mm.
You know, the more I know the answer, the less I like to chit-chat. If I'm clueless, I welcome the chatter. I'm like, I watch Cal be like, Cal's going to say something helpful. Yeah.
Now, Seth has a little
Cal's
bit of a
be
buffer.
Like, you know, is it I before E?
Uh-huh.
Or C? How's it go?
That's good.
I before E except after C?
The spelling matter, that's a common way to give a hint.
That was a hint there.
No, I'm just saying that's the most common way that people give hints.
I think what Corey was getting at, what you gave away was. Mm.
This is what we're talking about, this damn chit-chat. Let's get it.
Seth
get it
has
going.
A little bit of a buffer,
there was some
but
answer.
Not have an answer.
There was something where someone was like, the spelling counter, the most of the answers like red,
Smith.
Blue, chartreuse. Like, does spelling matter?
Does everybody have an answer? Corey?
Yep.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying keystone species, Seth saying keystone species, Giannis saying indicator species.
See what I mean, Steve?
Randall saying keystone species, Hanzi saying indicator species, Steve saying indicator species, Corey saying eco-friendly, Brody saying indicator species. We have a correct answer in the room.
It's indicator species.
Mm. Which is exactly what this is.
No.
Yeah. No, it's not.
A keystone species is one that's very important to an area.
Oh, this is absolutely what it is.
We had a question about
he said the publication.
This is Encyclopedia Britannica's definition.
Oh, this is horse shit.
No. An organism that serves as a measure of the environmental conditions in a given locale. That's not
indicator
the same
species, keystone species, at this point in time. Is the exact same thing. There.
We had a question about keystone species.
Tell me what you get bad from when keystone he says species. Horse shit. There's a long pause between horse and shit. That's bad.
What do you get like, from shit. Keystone That's species thing, that you don't get from indicator species?
Yeah, there's some
and
behind that.
Indicator species just be like an indicator that
let me read to
one
you,
particular
Cal,
environment
that this
is
doesn't
in bad
do.
Shape.
Cal, let me read you the follow-up factoid, then we'll hash this out after. Indicator
Answer
species.
The
Would someone else talking help?
Tensions are high.
It's getting hot in here.
Indicator species are often microorganisms and plants, but they do come in all shapes and sizes. For example, river otters, which are also a keystone species, are sensitive to mercury and their numbers will quickly decline if the bottom of the food chain collapses. Frogs are another often cited indicator species because their skin absorbs chemical pollutants, and algae blooms are one of the most obvious indicator species, which signal a change in the season or environment. Does that satisfy you, Cal?
Figures don't lie, Cal.
Algae blooms
so
would
you're
not
saying,
be a keystone species.
Like
but
you're
it
writing
would
an
be.
Article, let's mm-hmm. say for a publication.
Sure. I would
that exact same sentence that you just read.
Mm-hmm.
If you swapped out indicator and keystone, that would mean something different.
It
to
would.
You.
A keystone species would not be an algae bloom. It would not be a frog, but it could be an otter.
You're saying.
I think what he's saying is it can be an indicator species without being a keystone species. Mm-hmm. Right,
but not
like,
every keystone is
like
an indicator.
Spencer, before I run out, can I get a look at that? Next
at
question?
This point in time, like keystone is essentially debunked. Everything can be a keystone species, right?
Let me.
Does anybody have a copy of the
so
Encyclopedia
the white,
Britannica?
I am pulling it up right now, Cal. Here's
the white
keystone.
Bar pine.
Here's the keystone species definition from Encyclopedia Britannica. A species that has a disproportionately large effect on the communities
All
in
I'm
which it
All I'm saying is
occurs.
You're doing a disservice to people out there because this is not up to date.
But you're arguing for an incorrect answer that wasn't the answer.
Well, okay. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know the definition according to Encyclopedia Britannica. What I'm saying, though, is for like mm-hmm. functional...
Mm-hmm.
biology yep. at this point in time. Keystone does not mean what
you
it
didn't
meant
miss anything,
when it was
Steve.
Defined by the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Still arguing.
But keystone wasn't the answer, Cal. It'd be like if you said, I don't know, like the food pyramid. You're like, the food pyramid's not a thing anymore. I was like, well, the answer wasn't food pyramid, so it kind of doesn't matter.
Let's say the answer's red.
Uh-huh.
And everybody writes red, and somebody writes Rojo.
This is getting good.
I think Spencer, is there a way to pick this up later?
Phil, we have one question left. Give us a scoreboard update.
Yeah, sure thing. The only two players who are safe and are moving on for sure. Mm.
How's it going over there, Steve?
Are Brody and Steve. Brody has 8 points. Okay. Steve has 7. Mm. Then coming up behind them, going backwards this time, we have Giannis and Seth with 5 points. And then Cal, Corey, Hanzi, and Randall all have 4 points apiece.
Wow.
Mm.
Question 10.
Will there be a tiebreaker?
Will be a tiebreaker if we need to do a tiebreaker to move on. Question 10, the topic is hunting. Which turkey subspecies is found in states like Louisiana, Kansas, and Washington?
It is as though... you chose this question to eliminate me.
What are states like?
What's that?
States like.
Which turkey subspecies is found in states like Louisiana,
so you mean
Kansas,
so, Iowa, what is and the,
like,
Oregon?
It's like Washington. Do you mean such as?
Sure.
Or these
or
three
similar
states?
To. And states similar to, you know. Louisiana, mm-hmm. Kansas, yep. Washington.
Which turkey subspecies is found in states such as Louisiana, Kansas, and Washington?
Spencer, you want an example of how algae bloom can be a keystone species?
Sure, I would like an example.
Let's concentrate.
Algae
on this,
bloom
this
isn't a species.
Question.
I feel like this algae question would be hard to argue.
It's almost right, like he wrote this one just because he wanted to stir the pot some more.
I feel like this is an arguing question.
The question 10 or question 9, you're saying?
Whatever number we're on.
This here one.
Well, okay. There's a lot of problems with it. One thing I'll point out is a lot of people think the whole subspecies thing is bogus. So it's, the whole question is based off of question.
There's one argument.
Mm-hmm. Does everybody have an answer? Phil, remind us who is fighting to move on at the bottom.
Are you looking
that doesn't even matter because the game, you're not rolling it over, so he still gets to be in the lead. Yeah.
Yes, but two people will not advance for a chance at the next 10.
But they're not going to win anyways. Who cares if they stay here?
They could.
There's no way to
catch
up.
Win.
Brody could falter, you're saying.
Sure.
No, but Brody's not going anywhere. If you're losing if you're losing so bad right now that you can't stay, you ain't winning.
But what if Brody gets his wrong, say, and one of these people at the bottom gets it right? There's only like 2 points separating them.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know.
No,
how many points is it?
4 points.
Well, yeah, okay. So Brody has 8, Steve has 7. Everyone else is fighting it out depending on where they land
they
and where the tiebreaker lands.
You and I can sit
That
here.
Might make sense.
Giannis and Seth have 5, and Cal, Corey, Hansi, and Randall have 4.
Okay. Does everybody have an answer for this question?
Shish kebab.
I got a problem with this question.
Does everybody have an answer? I got a problem
with that. You're ready to fight. You know what's going to knock the fight right out of him is if he gets it right.
When did they lock the building?
I won't say a word
if I get it right.
Go ahead the doors and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying Rio Grande, Seth saying Eastern, Giannis saying Eastern. Randall saying Merriam's, Hansi saying Merriam's, Steve saying Eastern, Corey saying Merriam, Brody saying Eastern. The correct answer is Eastern, and I don't know what that means for our game.
I got nothing to say.
Yeah, give me a sec here.
I'm going to read the factoid. Phil is going to tell us who is moving on and who is leaving.
It was the only turkey I actually
Louisiana knew, so. Only has Easterns. Kansas has Rios and Easterns. And Washington has Merriam's, Rios, and Easterns. Although Easterns seem especially out of place in Washington, Rios and Merriam's aren't native to the state either. According to NWTF, all turkeys that live in the Pacific Northwest are introduced populations. So, the only answer could possibly be Easterns, because that's the only subspecies found in Louisiana.
But they're probably,
that's a great question.
They're probably states like Louisiana and Kansas that have Merriam's.
Similar.
Yeah, similar too.
Phil, tell us who is not joining us in episode 4.
Well, the players who are joining us are Brody, Steve, Giannis, and Seth. We need to go to a tiebreaker between Cal, Corey, Hansi, and Randall, who all have 4 points.
Stop the
and
pain.
And the 2 players who are closest.
I'm already excited about the work I have to do outside of this
room. We're
going
to pause the game to do this.
You can just tell me to go.
This is great.
We have a tiebreaker ready.
So we're just going to sit back and watch him squirm.
Phil, we are down to Corey, Cal,
Hansi and Randall need to go to a tiebreaker, and the 2 closest in the tiebreaker will move on.
This is going to be a question about like a lion ring, like Roman times, like 4 people.
I feel like the family dog tied up by the leash to the bumper, and they're taken off. Yeah. They forgot you back there, and it's like
there's a rabbit ahead of
they're
that.
They're not
going to
remember. They're not going
to
remember.
So the winners of this, the two winners of this, will move on to play the next 10 questions that have 4 question disadvantage.
Yes. That is precisely right.
Yeah. It's a coveted spot.
It's as painful as it sounds.
It's pressure-free.
The tie-breaking topic is hunting. What percentage of white-tailed deer were harvested on private land in the Midwest in 2021? And this is via the National Deer Association. They categorize the Midwest as 13 states of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, and Wisconsin.
That's a great question.
Here is the question again. What percentage of white-tailed deer were harvested on private land in the Midwest
in 2021.
Can I play along?
Even if you're not in the running to be eliminated, I'd like you to play along. We could potentially have somebody hit it right on the nose and add an extra $100 donation
to a decimal
answer center? To one decimal point.
So I am confused.
Okay.
Is this a percentage of the total North American population of white-tailed deer?
No, just of all the deer harvested in the Midwest, what percentage of those deer
were harvested on private land? That's right.
And Phil's screen is showing you the states that this question is referencing. What percentage of white-tailed deer were harvested on private land in the Midwest in 2021? And as Cal pointed out, this is the percentage of all the deer that were harvested in the Midwest.
I always get the sense that Kentucky and Missouri, they don't necessarily like being included, lumped into that group.
Well, because a lot of them think they're Southerners.
Mid-South.
Even though they can ice fish at times.
Does everybody have an
answer? You know what, I just went by, because it winds up being the same number, is what percentage of Spencer's questions are flawed.
Is this one of them?
20.
Is everybody ready? Take that as a yes. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Seth saying 77. Giannis saying 71.5. Steve saying 88. Brody saying 82.3.
Why didn't you read what Randall had?
Our four competitors left.
Because I'm fighting
Corey
for my life.
With 60%. Hanzi with 78%. Randall with 86.2%. And Cal with 64%. Hold up your boards one more time for me. The four people left.
Keep them down, you guys that are way ahead of us.
The correct answer is 91%, meaning Randall and Hanzi were advanced.
Please point out that I was actually the closest in the room.
Steve was the closest at 88%.
I think this should be like more like...
Steve, like, you were within 3 percentage points.
I would have hosted it like, oh my gosh, Steve almost got it exactly right. And but of the people in the tiebreaker, let's take a look.
And we had Randall, who was 5% off, and Hanzi, who was 13% off.
That hey,
was
I good really want to thank you for this opportunity.
Cal, you didn't throw that game, did you?
Oh, I just wanted to believe that there was more opportunity on public land.
He's optimistic.
Yeah. I think there is. It's just whether people use it or not, right?
Yeah. And then you get into those QDMA states, or formerly known as, the artists formerly known as.
A lot of 100-acre farms.
Now, normally at this point in the show, the trivia winner would get to choose where the $500 donation from Meat Eater goes. But because this is part of the tournament, we're doing something a little different. Here's what's going to happen. We are banking each donation until the end of the tournament. So instead of four $500 donations, the trivia champion is going to make a one $2,000 donation. It'll be the biggest donation in Meat Eater trivia history.
Well, it's reallocated, actually.
Well, you didn't have to put it that way, Steve.
Can we fit another correction into the conclusion of the show?
Cal and Corey, you guys advanced from earlier episodes, but now we say goodbye. It was fun.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like you.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I was surprised Corey isn't even in the room.
Despite him getting second last year and beating Steve in the tournament. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam,
can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.